Today, I sit here proudly to tell you about Mood.com. Promo code Drinking Bros will get you 20% off your first order over there. Did you know there's an online cannabis company that ships federally legal THC right to your door? And also, they found a way to combine THC with carefully selected functional ingredients to target nearly every mood and health concern you can possibly think of. Forget the one-size-fits-all supplements that only get you high. Mood's functional gummies are optimized to kick in as little as 15 minutes and take you to the mood you're looking for. Daddy loves those sleepy time gummies. Man, I'm out in like 15, 20 minutes. I'm talking about Mood.com's incredible line of functional gummies. You get 20% off your first order at Mood.com with a promo code Drinking Bros. Whether it's Mind Magic gummies for deep work and creativity, PMS support to ease cramps and balance mood swings, or their sexual euphoria gummies to help you feel ready for action and turn every touch into a full body experience. You gotta go to Mood.com. Listen, you can find gummies to just get you high pretty much anywhere these days. But Mood's functional gummies combine premium federally legal THC with targeted botanicals to help you get into the perfect mood, usually in as little as 15 minutes. Best of all, everything ships discreetly right to your door. No dispensary lines, no awkward conversations, just better days and nights delivered to your doorstep. Not only is every Mood product backed by a 100-day satisfaction guarantee, but as I mentioned, listeners get 20% off their first order with the code DRINKINGBROS. So head on over to Mood.com. Find the functional gummy that matches exactly what you're looking for and let Mood help you discover your perfect mood. And don't forget to use the promo code Drinking Bros when you check out to save 20% on your first order. Close your eyes and imagine what you'll look like 6 months from now. How's your hair look? The same? Now picture how your hair would look if you started using Hims. If you're picturing the same as before, but with much thicker and fuller hair, you'd be correct. What can happen in 3 to 6 months? You could pick up a new hobby and get, well, not that good at it. You could do about half of your New Year's resolutions. You could, I don't know, join a CrossFit gym or something like that. Or you can start seeing thicker, fuller hair regrowth through Hims. Not bad for just 3 to 6 months. So, man, if you're out there and you're starting to notice your hair thinning when you look in the mirror, you're not alone. Life just gets busier and busier, and it can feel like there's not enough time in the day to do something about it. So try Hims Hair Loss Solutions. You can avoid jumping through a bunch of frustrating hoops and get access to treatment without even leaving your own home. Hims provides you with convenient access to a range of hair loss treatments that work all from the comfort of your couch. Choose from personalized, chewable, oral, spray, and serum treatments to find out which one works best for you. The process is simple and 100% online, so there is no uncomfortable doctor visits. Just answer a few questions, and a medical provider will determine if a treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your treatment is sent directly to you for free. No insurance is needed, and one low price covers everything from treatments to ongoing care. Hims has hundreds of thousands of trusted subscribers, and they can help you get your confidence back with visibly thicker and fuller hair. Start your free online visit today at Hims.com/drinkingbros. That's Hims.com/drinkingbros for your personalized hair loss options. Hims.com/drinkingbros.
Results vary based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription products require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if a prescription is appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for full details and important safety information.
Live on DAZN Worldwide, May 2nd and 3rd, Garcia versus Romero and Canelo versus Skull. Friday from 6 p.m. Eastern, Garcia returns in a history-making Times Square takeover. 24 hours later, Saturday from 7 p.m. Eastern, King Canelo faces undefeated Skull for the undisputed crown. May 2nd and 3rd, a knockout weekend of boxing. Pick one or go all in for only $90 exclusively on DAZN. Buy now at DAZN.com/boxing.
Some matches are temporary, but your privacy shouldn't be. With Line 2, you get a second phone line just for dating. No need to share your personal number until you're ready. You can chat, text, and even block numbers, all while keeping things fun and private. It's perfect for online dating, blind dates, or just keeping things light. When you're ready to move on, Line 2 lets you cut ties without any drama. Dating should be fun and carefree. Line 2 keeps it that way. Ready to date on your terms? Visit line2.com/audio or download Line 2 in the App Store today.
Welcome to Drinking Bros, presented by GhostBed.com. Sit back, relax, and grab a fucking drink.
Welcome to Drinking Bros, sports kids. I'm taking over the MMA show. For one reason only. It's Conor McGregor. It's the sexiest night of the year in the UFC when McGregor fights. And we've got the best color man. Am I allowed to say that? Color man?
You can say whatever you goddamn well please.
In the biz, Jonathan Reginald Anik on the show.
I don't think Reginald is your middle name, is it?
It sounds better than Matthew, though, doesn't it?
No, John Matthew, that's a biblical name. What's your problem? You don't like the fucking Bible?
You know, it's funny you say that, because in broadcasting school, they tried to make me Jonathan Matthews and no longer John Anik. They didn't like the way my name sounded. And
that happens a lot with people actors. With common names and actors. Well, some of it's SAG. Like, you have to register with SAG, and if somebody's ever got your name, you can't use that name.
Yeah.
It's kind of fucked up, because that's your name.
You
right?
know what mine was? Ross Vegas. My manager was like, dude, Ross Patterson just sounds too white and boring. And he goes, Ross Vegas already sounds like it's in lights.
Ross Vegas, Ross Vegas sounds like a guy who's singing at fucking weddings in the Midwest.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's too late to change his name to Ross Vegas.
I am in for this. It sounds too much like Las Vegas. That's the only issue.
Yeah. Right. Well, that was the point.
I have to say, your energy is so goddamn infectious, it's, you know? That's why I'm here. I mean, I love Dano, don't get me wrong.
No, my
Dan's fine, but...
Which is funny, because I'm on 60 milligrams of Adderall, and this is still my level of energy. So you're not getting much out of me.
Yeah, I was going to say, Dan didn't get you, like, hyped up for that?
I was just saying, if I knew I could go home with some Adderall, I would have come here a lot.
Oh, we got plenty. We got plenty, my man. We got plenty. Giorgio and Delco, Dan, I appreciate you guys letting us interrupt your MMA show. Mm-hmm. John, last time you were on... I feel like the MMA world has changed so much that, especially with the ESPN Plus deal, that we had to bring in two like actual people who know, like the dirty, down, like right. fucking Dagestani people that you know Dan and I don't know about.
So one of the things that has been said to me a bunch by the people who like the external fighting organizations, Triller, the Paul brothers, whomever else, is that it's bringing new eyeballs to the sport. And that most of the people in the public talking about the sport don't know what the fuck they're talking about right now. There's a handful of people, yourself, Joe, you know, obviously the guys who've actually fought know. These dicks, this one has actually fought as well. But, you know, I feel like it's few and far between people that know, can explain to, not just people who know the sport, I guess, but people who can explain the technical aspects of the sport to somebody who's watching as a casual fan and make that exciting for them. Cause that's how you make a new fan, right?
Yeah, no, I think so. I mean, certainly our sport for a lot of people is hard to understand. And I am not a lifelong martial artist. I would defer to this guy with the shiner and the cauliflower ear every day of the week. But but I think the ESPN deal, to your point, has sort of brought us into households that we just were not in. And you couple that with a global pandemic, and there are just so many people who were not watching this sport who are now watching it. Like, it has changed so much, to your point, since I was last with you guys. It's effectively changed forever and for the better, right? Like, it has passed the NHL. Like, there were times I sat down with you guys years ago, we were saying, hoping to crack that big four. Like, sorry to the puckheads out there. But
Yeah, for sure.
But so even your social media, all of it has changed. Like, your podcast. Like, dude, in my opinion, you have the best MMA podcast in the biz, and Florian. But since then, because we had chatted a few years ago at this point about like what you're going to do with that, what you're going to do with social media, everything else.
Yeah.
I looked at your numbers walking in today and I was like, holy shit, dude. Like, it's grown the way it should because you're the best in the business doing it.
Well, thanks. I mean, when Joe Rogan's your broadcast partner, it doesn't hurt, right? You know, it gives you a little boost, you know. But no, it's been good. It's been, you know, it's fun to sort of grow with the sport, right? I aligned myself to the sport back in 2009. So it's very gratifying to see it evolve in this manner. And to be along for the ride is great. I mean, I was in Bristol, Connecticut at ESPN fighting for mixed martial arts in 2007 and getting doors slammed in our faces and people laughing at us, right? Mm. And then you fast forward 10 years or so, and they got a goddamn licensing deal. So,
did you come in 2009?
I called my first Bellator fight in 2009.
Okay,
so.
And then when did you come over to the UFC officially?
2011.
So. Okay, so that's like UFC like 150s around then?
Yeah, I think maybe 137.
But
I
like
think
you remember like the weird cities and the weird towns and like just the very like fundamental martial artist aspect of it still at that point in time. It was still filled with different specialists. It was going, like it was a global sport at that point, but you were finding like the very best and like the gems from different countries and they were coming over and testing it against like basically the ground and pound wrestlers of that era per se, the Randy Couture's like and seeing like who could we find across the world to challenge them in a way. And
are you saying that there's more generalists now than before? Are people becoming more less specialized?
It's almost completely generalist. I mean,
explain that to the audience.
Leon Edwards in particular is someone who is an amazing 170 pounder right now, but it's like only trained MMA his entire life. He never trained one discipline as a kid or one to two disciplines and then transitioned into another like in your late 20s. And most of the time, Joe says this specifically, you can't learn these muscle movements and these muscle developments unless you start it so young. So like starting a new art at 20 years old is completely new and completely different. It's like, how quickly can you catch up? Which again, you know, leading into the Greg Hardy fight later on today, you see these super athletes coming over from different sports. And it's like, how quickly can you transition?
There's a ceiling on his capability in professional fighting. That's just how it is, right? If starting that late in your life, there's going to be a ceiling.
Well, right. Like Walt Harris is another heavyweight who at times is compared to Greg Hardy. Like Walt Harris grew up a striker, like a martial artist. Greg Hardy came into this with nothing. But you make a good point. I mean, submission offense is sort of a lost art. Like there are a lot of fighters on our roster who you can't submit. Like they're submission defense is airtight, but they couldn't necessarily talk you through what they're doing defensively, and they certainly couldn't put you in that choke.
Submission defense and takedown defense. Those are the first two things, I think, as a striker coming into it, which is fundamentally the majority of people's background coming into MMA striking. You learn those two things right away. Like if you want to try to compete at like, you know, the high amateur level, the early professional level in some of the smaller organizations, you got to have those two things. And if you're good on your feet and you can keep it there, you can go pretty far.
Do you think being a generalist from the beginning, though, is prohibitive in becoming elite at one of the three major aspects?
Like that's a key question.
Does Conor McGregor become Conor McGregor with that left hand if he grows up just doing mixed martial arts his whole life?
I mean, that's the key question we're going to see over the next generation. Over the next 10 years, we're going to see what's next for for these fighters. What were you going to say, Dan?
Like good at everything, not great at anything.
But not great at anything. Yeah, because it's going to make, I mean, that will make fights boring, frankly. If people are that good at takedown defense and people aren't doing takedown
That just leads me into my Donaher question right away. I was going to save this for the end, but Gary Tonin's a guy, and then you see Gordon Ryan, someone who they're over at ONE FC, which is a different organization. I just don't like to comment on that much, but the heel hooks, the leg locks, like they're just tearing through guys.
The little stuff, man. And,
but it's fundamentals. It's a system. It's a system that Donaher has described, and he's taking this jiu-jitsu game and he's beating MMA guys with it. And like, you know, ONE FC doesn't necessarily have the best guys out, doesn't showcase the sport as best, but he's kind of like beating the system in a way. Yeah. So I want to wonder what you think.
If I could get one guy in the UFC that's not on the roster, it's Gary Tonin. I mean, I love watching that guy fight. There's no doubt about it. And I think obviously his game would translate with the elite of that division. But I mean, I think that you got a guy in Ryan Hall this weekend who's not necessarily a total point of comparison with Gary Tonin. And I think Ryan Hall would take great exception to people knocking his striking, too. but he's definitely a guy who people classify as a specialist. And when it comes to all the different variations of the leg locks and the heel hooks, last guy in the world I'd want to fight.
Well, so. Everybody knows you're a Boston Red Sox fan. To your point, the Moneyball shit that was developed in Oakland, right? That whole concept, once it got mapped onto the Boston Red Sox, they became dominant for a good, 6 or 7 years before everybody else really caught up. I mean, they didn't win every single year. They won 2 World Series, but they were dominant.
Well, the analytical look towards the sport.
Yeah. So it's like when
breaking
you take,
down, quantifying it.
If his theory is correct and you map that onto the best athletes in the UFC, then it becomes a movement, right? Like everything changes at that point. it's a new thing that people learn. Like, oh shit, this is something new you could do. It's not really new.
MMA is still the Wild Wild West to me. Like Joe said that fighting has evolved more in the last 20 years than it has in the last 2,000 years. And I completely agree with that because no one did these different styles. And now we're learning, like exponentially learning, compounding everything and developing this sport. So it's like the specialist guys, I feel like, move the area farther here. So now you have to learn to defense to these new techniques or you can't attack certain ways. In the same way, almost the low calf kick is kind of changing things a little bit. Like you don't see the heavy front foot as much. It's kind of, it's the counter to the traditional boxing stance almost. Like, what do you think about that as far as like the evolution of the sport as well?
Yeah, well, we have a guy competing this weekend, Drakus du Plessis, and he's a South African guy, two division champion in South Africa. And it remains to be seen just how good he is. But he looked into our Zoom meeting yesterday and he's like, people haven't seen the South African style. He didn't want to get into too many details as to the layers and the striking and different things. But he believes nationalistically that all these places, that Americans in a broad generalizing way have a style. And I do think there's some truth to that. So even in this era of generalists and kids whose parents are having them train mixed martial arts, by the way, I think a lot of those parents too are going to have their kids wrestling. So I still think you're going to have kids who are entering, they're striking, but they're still wrestlers, you know, so I don't worry too much about that. But oh, we're just getting going, man. We are just getting going. You know, it's the calf kick now and there will be another trend later. And, you know,
well, I mean, when you can see it on television, right? More and more and more of it. Because back in the day, you could only see one event kind of here and there.
Right.
If you had pay-per-view, if your buddy had it. Now that it's on ESPN, and then you have a big card like McGregor, but then you have these other cards that are just on ESPN Plus.
Right.
It's bringing in more and more people to the sport. And it's like soccer for soccer moms where they're like, oh, the women's team just won the world title. Let's put my kids in soccer. Now they're going to be putting them in wrestling and MMA and all that other stuff because they're seeing it at a younger age and they're seeing a lot more of it. And it's on TV every single Saturday
every
now.
Every goddamn Saturday. I mean, that's the rub, really. 41 of 52 Saturdays. And Islam Akhachev is headlining our show next weekend. And there are a lot of people in this room who are acutely aware of just how good that guy is. Might be the best lightweight in the world, right? Literally might be the number one lightweight in the world and would probably be favored to beat at least one of the guys this weekend. If
you could say he's top five. I don't know if you can say he's number one in the world. He's been tested. This pre's number
fair
one
enough.
One
I mean,
now.
Certainly, of course, in I terms mean, of the just, strength
that,
of schedule.
That's an age-old debate, like talent again, versus performance, right?
I mean,
we'll
it's
see.
Very disrespectful to Dustin Poirier in the run that he's been
yeah,
on. And I was wanting
which
to say
we need
this
to talk
later,
about.
But like, if you if you go down the list of the people that he's beaten,
no
the
doubt.
Champions that man has beaten.
No doubt. But I'm just talking about his Dustin's ability to beat Islam Akhachev in 2 days, right?
Yeah.
Good luck. Yeah. That's all. But I'm just saying, like, for people who are ingesting this stuff the way they are, Conor McGregor's a tough act to follow, obviously, but dude, we got another live event July 17th, and in the summer when not a lot's going on, we're always there.
Because of this rapid evolution, are we going to see somebody that's dominant for 5 or 6 years at a time again? Like in baseball, for example, Albert Pujols was the best hitter in baseball for 10, 15 years, maybe. Probably 12. Mike Trout's been the best hitter in baseball for a while now. Maybe Shohei Ohtani's about to eclipse him. We'll see.
Right.
He's losing his fucking mind right now. Same thing happens in football. Tom Brady's been the best for fucking 22 years.
Yeah.
Or whatever, however long that shit's been. Basketball, LeBron's been the best. KD's on his heels. Maybe he's overtaken him, but for 12 to 15 years. The longest run I remember in UFC is Silva, right? Andy?
He still has the record, yes.
He has the most consecutive
I don't think anybody
wins.
Does that again.
Is he also the longest title held as well?
Yeah, Demetrius, I think, came
was it like
up
five
one
and
short.
A half years? Or 4.5?
Yeah, because by the time Habib got to the title, he, you know.
Yeah, he only fought four times.
Well, that's the knock on Habib in terms of being the greatest of all time, which is not a conversation I want to have necessarily today, but he didn't have the title defenses. Like,
would you be willing to come on and have that conversation with
anytime,
him?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. I think we have Jonathan locked in on that, so we're going to have him next.
It's a verbal contract.
I don't think he's done. I still don't think he's done.
In a non-McGregor fight week, I'll give you all the time in the world that you want. But Kamaru Usman, right?
Yeah, yes.
He's stepping into that lane right now.
You know, I get asked the Mount Rushmore of MMA question constantly. And a lot of people don't want to have the pound for pound conversation. They don't want to have the greatest of all time conversation because a lot of these fighters are smack dab in the middle of their prime. Right. And I don't mind having those conversations, but don't ask me to build a mountain of four fighters and not include Kamaru Usman right now, you know?
Yeah.
So
well, look, I'm here for the sex element of it,
right.
Which we'll get into first before we get into the cards themselves, the main event, and then the undercard, obviously. And we're both on DraftKings, that tip. So yes. I'll go ahead and give an ad read before that. But let's get into the sex element of it, which is why I'm here. Okay. McGregor. Yes. Always brings me out. This is my fourth time I've seen McGregor.
Yeah.
Because I know it's going to be a fucking party. I know it's going to be a fucking spectacle. Yeah. Shit's going to get out of control.
Especially if he wins.
Can you confirm that Donald Trump is going to be there Saturday night? Okay. So Donald Trump will be there. Yes. Is he next to Dana White?
In the vicinity, I would think, but I don't have those details. But yes, he'll be in the
building. Is he fighting anybody?
Hey, you just never know.
That would be great if he like stepped into the ring.
He'll be ready.
All right, sex-wise, number two question, okay? Because that's the number one sexiest story. Celebrity-wise, Drake. There is a rumor that Drake is bringing out Conor McGregor and dropping an album this weekend. Can you confirm any of that?
I cannot confirm that.
That was a real low voice. And
I cannot confirm that.
Why did you give me like the against the wall, like on a playground? Like, hey, did you make out with her? Nah, dude, I don't know.
Well, here's the thing. So that is not in my television format at all right now. Mm. But that doesn't mean they wouldn't keep that detail from me and add it later. So. I'm like the last line of defense.
So you like Spider-Man, the kid from Spider-Man during the Avengers movies, whatever.
Tom Holland.
Tom Holland. Yeah. They had to hide the script from him because he couldn't stop telling people what was going to happen. Right.
Yeah. Well, no, I mean, there are things that, there's a lot of different things planned, and I'm glad you guys are going to be in the building. So.
It's very diplomatic, John. Thanks.
I don't think I've ever seen you skirt an answer before.
I truly know nothing about the Drake thing. It just sort of opened my eyes to the fact that I'm probably getting a new format tomorrow night. Yeah. With a lot of shit that I haven't prepared for. So.
You've seen him. You post the pictures on Instagram every now and again of the fucking 3x5 cards where you write all your notes. This dude's like the fucking Rain Man over here.
Yeah. Like, so him not knowing if Drake's going to be there, that's crazy to me.
Nuts.
Also, if that is true, though, that's going to affect the lines because of the Drake curse. Every time Drake latches on to something, latches on to something that's not Toronto, they lose.
Yeah.
Johnny Manziel was pretty bad. That was pretty bad L.
Yeah, because if Drake...
I don't think you could blame Johnny Manziel's career on Drake, okay?
Yeah, you can't.
I'm going to do that.
I'll do that.
Okay.
I'll do that.
The undefeated...
had nothing to do with cocaine. It was all Drake.
The undefeated Kentucky team that lost to Wisconsin, Drake was on that team.
Yeah. Oh, that's right. Yeah, he was on that bandwagon.
He was also in a wheelchair for a TV show.
Yeah, wheelchair. Look.
So, people respect on Degrassi.
Does he have wheelchair access to the fight? Can you confirm that?
I do not have the answer to that, Ross.
I'm just saying, it's wheelchair Jimmy. Why would you not give him wheelchair access?
We're aligned on that.
What if he came in the character as wheelchair Jimmy?
I would love if he just wheeled out in front of McGregor. I mean, just two-handed it, and it had a Britney Spears mic on it and just started going off in a Certified Lover Boy, the new album that's probably dropping Saturday night.
Saturday.
It would be amazing.
Yeah.
And then lastly, sex-wise here, big weekend, obviously, your co-host Rogan is doing two shows back-to-back Dave Chappelle. I heard Dave Chappelle is going to be in the building, and then but there's another big superstar that's here this weekend.
Who we got?
Biebs?
Garth. Motherfucking Brooks is performing Saturday night.
I think you mean Chris Gaines, actually.
No, Chris Gaines is not here. We've not seen Chris Gaines. Garth Brooks is performing Saturday night. The rumor is he has pushed his show until after McGregor ends. So for the locals that are here in Vegas, he'll be backstage watching the show the fight. As soon as that's over, then he'll go on stage. He's still, whether you like it or not, the biggest, I would say, touring artist in the world.
And yeah, far be it from Garth Brooks to counter program UFC 264. That's nice of
That'd be a
show.
Huge mistake on his part.
Later. It would. You can't.
You can see Garth tomorrow and you can see him. You can see him Sunday too, probably, right?
Yeah, some are suggesting that.
No, it's just Saturday night. That's it. So he's only here one night.
Yes. He doesn't have a residence here still?
No. So with COVID and everything, he's doing tours. If you haven't seen it, it's a crazy show because much like Pink, he's strapped to wires. So seeing his fat ass flying above the crowd in an arena around the greatest thing of all time.
I don't even want to hear him sing or perform anymore. I just wanted to go down to Gordon Ramsay's steak and watch him eat.
For
like 90 minutes. Yeah. Just watch him and his wife eat.
I'd pay for that. Nice I'd pay a lot of money for that.
Oh, him and Trisha Yearwood just back in the kitchen. Yeah, just more butter.
They're getting served by the old racist Southern lady. What's her name?
What's
her name?
Bring her out, Paula.
Paula Deen.
Bring her out of retirement and get her in there, dude.
I can't remember people's names. I just remember how racist they are.
More butter. Look, since we're both on DraftKings, we'll get into the card here in a second. I'll read this one quick ad real quick, and then we'll be on our way, and you guys can make the picks. I go by heart on this, so you know where I'm going with this. I'm going fucking bowl of Lucky Charms all goddamn day on this shit. Of course I am. McGregor versus Poirier 3 is set for UFC 264. Every punch, kick, and knockout means so much more with the DraftKings lineup on the line. DraftKings, the official daily fantasy partner of UFC, is giving you a shot at huge cash prizes. For this week's fight, DraftKings is offering all customers a shot at millions of dollars in total prizes. If you haven't tried it yet, fantasy MMA is easy to play. Just pick six fighters, which we'll do in a second. Probably not John. You'll give his opinion, but I don't think you're allowed to pick, correct?
That is accurate.
Yes. Stay under the salary cap, pile up points for advances, takedowns, and more. There's no better way to put your MMA knowledge to the test to compete for a shot at millions of dollars in total prizes. Plus, don't forget about NBA playoffs tonight. I went all in on the Bucks money line. Plus 275. NHL is now over. Congratulations to the Tampa Bay Lightning. DraftKings is safe and secure and reliable. You can deposit and withdraw your funds at your convenience. McGregor, Poirier, rubber match. Get in on the action now. Download the DraftKings app. Use the promo code BROS for your shot at millions in total prizes throughout the week. That's promo code BROS to get a shot at millions of dollars in total prizes. Only at DraftKings. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for details. Giorgio, let's start
Ross,
with the
I mean, I'm going to continue this
cards.
Ad. I'm going to continue this ad.
Go ahead.
Go ahead and follow me at Just Giorgio and Dan over at Dan Register. You're going to see our picks.
Yep.
We're going to play. We're going to play some UFC fantasy.
Yes.
This week.
Yes,
We're going to pick our lineups from these cards and see what goes after. You can be on my team. You can be on Dan's team. But this is going to be a pretty fun weekend.
So let's start with the first fight. Who do you got?
I'm going to throw it over to Dan.
What are we doing? What do you mean, first fight?
Prelims first, right?
Prelims? Or
yeah, we're going prelims, dude. Let's go prelims.
All right.
We got Anik in the fucking building. Why wouldn't we do prelims?
He's all hopped up on Adderall, too. So good.
Not yet.
Not yet.
But man, did my Friday night become a lot easier. No,
yeah, we got some for you. Yeah, we got some for you. What do we got on the first prelim here?
Trevor Giles.
I want to.
How do you say his name? Dreykus Duplessis?
Duplessis. Right?
This is why we have two other people in here for this shit, dude. Yeah, we're terrible at it.
I just don't.
Terrible the names.
He's the best at saying these people's names of all time.
Yes.
I'm just the best at practicing. Right?
Guess, yeah.
I just practice more than other people. It's not that I'm the best, right? And I appreciate the Rain Man designation, but it's actually just that I've
seen your note cards.
You look like John Nash and what's that? A Beautiful Mind with fucking numbers flying around in your head.
Yes, dude. It's all over your garage. I've seen your note cards. It looks like it's in fucking Braille.
Up the side of the wall.
They're so small, it's in Braille.
Yeah, I can barely read it, too. I'm getting old now. I got to figure out a new system. I like this fight. We talked about the South African. And sometimes for me, I mentioned you guys off the air, I'm so close to it that I sit down with this South African kid who's like 17-2 and he just gets me to buy into such an extent. Obviously, Trevin Giles is the more known UFC quantity here, but I think it has the potential to be a really exciting fight. And certainly for the South African who we just spoke about, Duplessis, he just feels like he has a lot of things stylistically in his game that Giles has been subject to in the past. He's got a good guillotine, which Giles has fallen victim to a couple times. So, good fight in a loaded division at 185 pounds. What do you guys think?
It's got to be hard for you, because you know these guys personally, to make picks on a weekly basis like this. Like it's great that you're actually calling the fights and you can't make picks, because you know these guys on a personal level. Therefore, your heart is going to probably be into certain people
that
not necessarily the odd makers are in.
All the time.
Yeah.
Chuck, for the main card, Chuck, every single time, he gambles on it too because he likes to have fun. He picks four straight up and then he goes with one heart bet, he says, every single time.
Yeah, it's hard, right? I think for a lot of us, even in our minds, if we're not making a pick on the record, it's a constant battle of heart versus head. But at this point, 10 years in, I have personal relationships in almost every fight, either some training partner or coach. And once the fight begins, it's pretty easy to tune out.
Well, you know,
MMA
math never adds up. X and O beats two.
There's no transitive property in sports in general.
Right.
Ever. Yeah. Between two teams. So why would it be between two? Just because the guy gets guillotine from time to time doesn't mean this guy's guillotine is
going to
work.
Although I do have to agree with that. I am going with Duplessis on this one.
Yep.
I think where MMA used to be different styles and martial arts coming together and seeing, now it's different regions and how they're adapting the sports. Like you see a lot with what's coming out of Russia and coming out of Dagestan. It's very wrestling heavy. That's very like control and position heavy. And then you're seeing a lot of this Southeast Asia kickboxing, Muay Thai stuff that's coming around, which is where I want to see. I think it's going to be a little different from the South African. I think it's going to be pretty wild. And we get used to this American MMA, which is a lot of Western boxing, defend the takedown, score the takedown, and then start a jiu-jitsu match, which it's, and it's kind of very linear like that. And I think these other countries are coming up with new game plans. And yeah, I have to go to Wesley on this one.
I like it. I like that one. I mean, if I was betting baseball right now and this was a pitcher who with a lesser known
God
style,
damn it. Don't go back to baseball. Yeah, every fucking analogy. No. It's not baseball.
Well, it makes sense. You shut the fuck up. Anyways,
Jesus.
If there's a pitcher that has a different kind of style or he hasn't seen that lineup before, usually that person has the advantage.
Yeah.
Right. So that's who I bet on. So I think that's a good bet. What's
what
is the line?
It's the closest fight, I think, on the card. So it's essentially a pick 'em. Duplessis is a minor favorite at -118. Giles O is -106 on DraftKings. So it's a pick 'em.
I'm going with my heart.
Yeah, I'm gonna go with Giles, I think. Yeah, okay. Fuck it.
Are you gonna pick a round too?
Giles in the second, because what the fuck is South African style?
It's Charlize Theron, dude. That's what South African style is.
And Elon Musk. What are you better than?
I'm
going to
go with John's heart. I'm going to go with John's heart. I love it just because I love your heart. Yeah.
My man.
If there's a Chet Hanks picks, that's this one.
Yeah.
This is the Chet Hanks pick. Yeah.
I still am not sure who Chet Hanks is.
Tom Hanks' son. He's the greatest rapper alive. White Boy Summer.
Yes.
That's what's going on right now.
That's Tom Hanks' son for real?
Yes.
So not the other goofy one from the movies.
Yeah, not the one who's bringing out Conor McGregor, because that's Drake, and we learned that today from John
Drake
Anik.
He's also Tom Hanks' son.
Yeah.
Man, he's been getting after it. Shit, I had no idea. A lot of talent, though.
Hey, if you notice those wheelchair seating, it's always two. Yeah, so there's going to be one for Chet as well.
He's like a wheelchair sidecar for a smaller man in a wheelchair.
Chet's going to be there in a wheelchair.
Sidecar is a good name for a band, by the way.
Who do we got in that second fight, Georgia?
So we got Ryan Hall versus Elia Topuria.
Okay.
Line right now is Topuria -250, Ryan Hall +195. Ryan Hall, I'm going to take almost a 2-1. Give me Ryan Hall.
I'm taking Ryan Hall as well.
What is it, 240 +240?
195.
Oh, 195. So it's a 2-1.
You've got to be amped about this fight, Anik.
Well, I'm excited because my podcast partner, Kenny Florian, is in Ryan Hall's corner. So that's sort of at the forefront of my mind. But this Elia Topuria, man, I'm telling you, born in 1997. Fucking
Jesus. That's what I was going to bring up.
So is I, yeah.
He's a little late.
He's young.
But this dude, man, like Vegas and the odds makers in general give too much respect to that O in the loss column, right?
Oh, yeah. So you're paying, 10-0,
if you like Topuria, you're paying a price already on this because he's undefeated. But man, does he have an athletic advantage. I mean, Ryan Hall, obviously, we talked about a little bit earlier, outstanding jiu-jitsu practitioner. He's added a lot of layers to his striking. His standing grappling has gotten better. And in terms of just the IQ and the ability to adjust and adapt, that corner and that team is not one that I would want to bet against. But Topuria is favored for a reason. He's a fucking problem, man, and a plus athlete in every sense.
And he's got a bunch of submissions himself as well.
Yeah, I mean, he's a Brazilian jiu-jitsu black belt. He'd be wise not to engage in that realm. We sat down with him this week, and he said, I'm more than willing to engage there. I do not think
there's
that
different
is.
Levels of black belt out there.
Yeah, and I just, you know, I think he just feels like his strength might play a role too on the ground. I don't know. I'd be very weary of engaging Ryan Hall on the floor at all.
But he's a little lower to the ground though, right? He's like 2 or 3 inches shorter, 2.5 inches, I think, something like that.
I mean, I'm sure Giorgio could say a lot of handicappers, when they're even looking at a fight to begin with, they look at reach and age before they even begin the rest of their cap.
I want to pause you there too. So if he doesn't engage in jiu-jitsu, he wants to keep it standing, wants to keep into a position where he thinks he can dominate the fight. So like that concept as a whole, like pausing from like going down the card real quick, fighters trying to be in positions where they think they're going to win the fight versus being entertaining. Like, what are your thoughts on that? Because we get a lot of like boos at a lot of these live events from positions where like guys are winning, they're dominant. They might not be like trying to submit or go for anything, but the alternative man isn't doing anything either, and he can't do anything.
Giorgio almost fought the entire state of Arizona when they booed the Damian Maia fight.
That crowd was awful.
Yeah.
I mean, they made noise, right? But our Jacksonville, Florida crowd a few months prior was worlds better. But
it's Florida.
We have a lot of fighters who sit down with us in these fighter meetings, and whether it's their UFC debut, oftentimes that's the case. They talk about entertaining, and they talk about why they're there, and they keep coming back to being a crowd pleaser and entertaining the fans and fighting with a style that will entertain. And it's refreshing to hear. Now, I'm not saying that you shouldn't prioritize winning, but we have increasingly a lot of these athletes that they're coming here to put on
is
a fucking show.
Is it sport first or is it prize fighting first? Because me and Dan often argue about this a little bit. Me and Ross also always argue about this.
You and I argue about this every single day.
What is it?
Well, I'll turn around on you and I would say Kamaru Usman right now, the most dangerous fight for him is who? Colby Covington, right? Now, you may not think that Colby Covington deserves it because he's already had that opportunity, right?
Well, I meant they were even splitting rounds going into the final round and he got his jaw broken. So, I mean, if anyone deserves it, it's him.
Also, when Dana pretty much says that someone's going to fight for the title, I don't believe it. So,
Colby puts asses in seats. Let's just fuck
him. Right. And he's literally one of the best 15 fighters I've ever seen in my life, pound for pound. He's unfucking believable. So, I guess in terms of answering the sport, the prize fighting is, well, you don't have a true bracket, right? We could name Leon Edwards, Colby Covington, and if Stephen Thompson beats Gilbert Burns, then
he can get a finish tonight, and I think he might hop Colby.
And all of that makes sense, you know, but it's you don't always control your own destiny.
But
that's
also
hard.
Up to the producers of UFC, right, to decide. Matchmakers. Producers, I guess I mean Dana, but it's not just about finding out who the best fighter in that weight class is. This is entertainment, right? Otherwise, you wouldn't even be there.
So why
are you there to make sure you and Joe are there to make sure people understand what's going on and can be entertained by it, not just to fill space.
And that's why you're one of the best.
You are.
Well, thank you.
Yeah. You're memed around the world.
But the fight fan in me,
and that's
right?
what Giorgio grapples with, not to use a
The fight fan in me wants Kamaru to fight the most dangerous slash most deserving guy. And I guess we have a few good options right now. I mean, I could certainly state a case for Leon Edwards, whom Dana White has said recently he needs to stay busy. So that would, in theory,
put him out of the title mix shot. Now.
But, I mean, who do you think Kamaru thinks is the toughest fight? It's fucking Colby Covington. You
know? Yeah, I'm not sure if Kamaru even thinks about if somebody's a tough fight. He's been so dominant. I mean, the one time he did get checked, he literally broke the guy's jaw in the fifth round, right?
Yeah.
But I mean, Gilbert Burns did stun him in the first in that fight. So, I mean, there are chinks in the armor. There are universes and scenarios where those fights went a little bit differently and those millimeters and those seconds caught up with people. And, you know, you talk about being dominant for so long, like these football players or baseball players, but they can lose.
They
might be able to lose during the playoffs or the championships, but they can lose. These guys have to be perfect.
Yeah, I never understood that about fighting either, though. I mean, like the idea of being, I guess to be dominant, you have to, because if you're, let's say you're the champ right now, you get beat. When's the next time you get an opportunity for that? To like fight for the champion? It might be two or three fights down the road. It's not like you can come back and win the Super Bowl next year, right?
Yeah.
So that's a fair point. That's I think there's got to be more tolerance for losing.
Yeah.
And these fights, though.
I mean,
Colby's
only had one fight since the Usman fight, though. So,
like, why is that zero at the end of the record? Only three people in history have done it, right? Rocky Marciano, Mayweather, and fucking Khabib. Only three people have really done it and been dominant, won titles, and been undefeated. So I understand it's a goal to get to, but that can't be the measure for how good a fighter is. Somebody either never loses or they lose here now and again. Right? That's how life is.
Well, it's like, is the most winningest athlete or is it the best practitioner of the sport or the most competitive, like most dominant competitive time? There are all these different critiques that we can try to quantify and all say the same thing. It's like, who really was the best?
Who was the better quarterback, Dan Marino or John Elway?
But circle back to what we were saying before, like we have a belt. And I mean, obviously it is an entertainment sport and it's really nice to be entertaining. If you lose a fight, you can get bigger fights again if you are entertaining.
Nate Diaz, for example.
Corey
Masvidal, for example. It doesn't matter if they win or lose their fights.
It definitely doesn't matter.
More entertaining outside the ring than they are inside the ring. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think sometimes that gets away from being the sport. I mean, Conor McGregor in specific, there are some antics that said were a little outside of...
It went a little overboard for a while there, right? And I feel like he's with more... We'll get to that later.
He threw that handcart through Khabib's truck,
was it the bus, throwing water bottles.
I didn't think it was far enough. I didn't think it was taken far enough. Yeah. I think he should have got on the bus afterward and then and really informed people of what was going on.
It was good for the promo video.
Did he do that because he wanted to sell more tickets? Did he do that because he wanted to make more money? Or did he do that because he was angry at someone or wanted to prove that he was the best in his mind, that he was the greatest of all time? Like, in the athlete's mind, is it about the athletic sport of it all? And if it becomes about the money, you know, is that just a ticking clock down to your retirement?
It's hard. There are a lot of layers to what you guys are talking about. And we're in an era right now where thankfully we have a lot of active champions, right? Israel Adesanya and Jan Blachowicz putting these belts on the line, helping the promotion out, you know, but we've had a lot of champions ill-advisedly, like Jessica Andrade, win the belt and they're like, hey, can you go to China and fight Zhang Wei Li in like 2.5 months?
Yeah.
Terrible decision, right? Lost her belt, and then she's only the champion for a few months, you know? I think Francis Ngannou, when he just won the heavyweight title, what he needed to do was go to fucking Cameroon and celebrate with his people. Mm. And if that means there's going to be an interim champion because, you know, he took a couple extra months, then so be it. But what I think is the hardest thing promotionally is when you have champions who are hard to deal with and they only want to defend the belt maybe one time a year. Mm. And then divisionally, it causes all these problems. You know,
again, if Conor McGregor wins here, how active of a champion would he be if, you know, he got a title fight after this?
Well, he said he wants to fight again before the year's over.
Right.
He's been saying that a lot, but his record and, I mean, his activity, you know, says something quite different.
Well, he came back to this fight.
Well, I will say, though, you know, he said before the Donald Cerrone fight in January of 2020, this is going to be McGregor fighting season. And then there was a global pandemic. Mm. That's why he wasn't more active in 2020. I know there have been boxing offers that have been lurking, but he's
didn't
in
Kevin
line.
Kevin Holland fight five fights in 2020?
There issues you have that are way above your pay grade. You know, no idea, bro.
I'm being cheeky when I say
I mean, there's a lot of getting into different nations. I'm not even going to get into it.
No, right.
It goes way beyond Kevin fucking Holland. I can assure you that Conor McGregor wants to compete and be in an active competition cycle. And in his mind, the hard thing is, like, he's become too big, right?
Yeah.
So, I think he would have fought four times this year. You know, it'll be very telling what happens this weekend. But
it's like the presidential motor. Once you become president, you can't just go like, hey, I want to go down to Starbucks right quick and get some coffee. Like, no, there's like 800 people I have to go with, you asshole. You're not going anywhere. Somebody will.
He wants to fight. He wants to fight. I really think he wants to fight. And even if he loses this fight, I still think you'll see him once more before the year is out. I think the question that is really interesting, though, is that if he beats Dustin Poirier, does he want to chase that Charles Oliveira fight and chase the undisputed title in 3 months or
Why
so?
Why not?
Right?
I mean, you got to. If that's your goal, you got to do it,
yeah,
right?
No, and I think he would.
Well, let's get back to this card.
Yeah, who's the third card? Who do we got?
Nico Price. Pereira. And Pereira. Right?
So
you'll know Pereira. He has all those highlights of him just kind of doing like backflips on the guys and shit.
Yeah.
Ross.
I'm still at the bar during this one. I'm peeking in.
This is gonna be a good
fight. I'm looking over, but I'm still at the bar.
So you're not inside the T-Mobile Arena for Nico Price and Michelle Pereira.
I'm in the arena.
Okay,
but
sure.
I'm at that private bar, and I'm kind of peeking over of like, oh hey, what's that guy's name? Yeah. But it's I said a double Tito's and soda. So right. We got the. It's two shots, right?
It's a shame, right? Up and down the escalator right there. I don't know why.
Yep.
This is going to be a banger. Like, he holds Ross. A balloon, this is going to be fun.
Yeah. Because right now, I'm still kind of looking for Drake during this fight.
I get it.
He come in? Is he wearing Kanye's new Gap blue jacket? Like, because that's a fun, flirty thing. Probably. But it's like 110 in Vegas. Like, I want to know that.
Maybe
that's
Kanye's...
why these guys are here, obviously. Yeah. And then I kind of slide down for who I know.
Maybe Kanye shows up with Drake with a new pair of Yeezys, right? Maybe Trump walks in with a new pair of Yeezys on.
Yeah.
How funny would that be? Jesus Christ. Can we just start having fun for fuck's sake?
Hey, I think that's the whole point of this weekend, Dan.
Yeah. It is.
I don't know.
Yeah. It really, like, but this is a fun card. This is the funnest
in a
long time where it's like everybody else is serious. Shame is we've got no belts on the line tomorrow night.
Dude, I'm walking in here. I'm getting questions about Dreykus Duplessis. You know, I'll do 30 media hits this week. I can assure you, you guys are the only one asking me about the South African.
Well,
so that's good.
But
the only reason I ask is because this matchup between Nico Price and Michelle Pereira is you should go to your seat for this one and then you can go back to the bar.
Fireworks.
Okay. Total fucking chaos.
Bro. All right. Like, I'm in. If you say it, John, I'm in.
What's the fighting that you want? This is the guys throwing all sorts of kind of haymakers, flying knees, kicks, spinning back kicks to the head. Okay.
Pereira's going to jump off of the fucking cage at some point. Like,
yeah.
Which is that technically illegal?
No.
No.
It's illegal to grab onto the cage, but not to use it to propel yourself, so far as I know.
Yeah, I mean, you can kick
from the top of it,
like 5-star frog splash somebody kind of off the cage.
Oh, I don't think he's
like,
gonna.
It's like an Andy Pettis combo.
He's not
like
go
he does
full...
one. It's a 3-step run up.
No, he's
right.
Not...
It would have to be in motion. But
yeah,
I
but
yeah.
Anthony Pettis ran up the side of the cage and kicked a guy in the face.
Which,
so
by
the
way, the
between that and jumping off the top,
Pettis
right?
has not been on the best of runs since he
no,
came on our show.
No, we probably shouldn't have interviewed him.
The curse of our show, I guess.
So who's
going to
win this fight?
Well, here's the thing, right? So, like, Nico Price. he stopped smoking weed because he, you know, he got suspended for marijuana, which is no longer a thing, thankfully.
Thank
right.
God. But
well,
he
not
got in the
suspended.
Olympics, though. That's fucking so stupid. Anyways,
so Nico got suspended. And if you take him at his word, he's no longer spending money on weed. He feels like it's helped his cardio a little bit. And he's in the best shape of his life. And the layoff that was sort of suspension induced has really helped him. Right. Like there's so much fighter speak that happens before these fights. It just depends how much you want to buy into it. I think Pereira deserves the distinction as the favorite. I think he has more ways to win. I think he has proven that he is willing to be patient and wants to prove that he can really contend. But I just don't know what version of Nico Price you're going to get. That's the thing. So this one would give me pause to wager.
The beauty of the weed comments is you had two people smoking immediately after you said it.
We're basically
I love it.
Both of these guys smoking weed, and it's certainly not enhancing their performance. So why would it for a UFC fighter? You know what I'm saying? So I'm glad that that's out of the sport. Who you taking in this one, Giorgio?
Oh, man. I want to say Nico Price. Like, honestly, I think Michael Pereira does have more ways to win. I think he is like the it's hard to say the flashier of the two, but as far as like his fighting style is a little bit the flashier of the two. But if like there's just like kind of come up, like after you go through this, like you get into the UFC, you have some success, you have some failures, you hit a hard wall like this. If you really do take the time to reflect and like it relieves a dangerous fighter. It brings out someone who really could find the best in themselves or find themselves at the end of their career. And, you know, I think he stays around a little bit longer. I think this gets him on track here.
What about you, Delco Dan? What do you got?
I'm on Nico Price plus 130. Give me that juice.
All right.
I like taking
dogs. We got to get moving here. Next up is Carlos Condit and Max Griffin. I don't know either one of these people.
You don't know Carlos Condit?
No.
Come on, Dan.
You don't know who that is.
Yeah.
I have no idea.
Mongolian fighter.
You're ordering. No,
Mongolian fighter.
You're leading the competition.
Loved
right
his
now.
Early work. Loved his early work. Now I'm back at the bar again, John.
Yeah, he's getting a second double Tito's.
That's
okay.
Yeah.
At that point.
Who do we got here, John?
So a lot of people like Carlos Condit in the plus 150 range. I don't know where he is at DraftKings Sportsbook right now.
He's
just
higher,
given
actually.
His current form, he's won a couple fights in a row after an extended losing streak. Condit hasn't finished someone since Thiago Alves in 2015. He told us this week that he's never had a submission win in the UFC, and he seems keen on trying to change that. But Max Griffin is the younger man at 35, and is in a very primal, confident state. Max Griffin is fucking killing sparring partners, one after the next, two successive training camps. I would say Griffin is closer to his fighting prime, but don't fade the natural-born killer or do so at your own peril. What do you guys think?
I don't know who either one of these guys are, but I trust your opinion. I mean, if you're saying the guy's got the fire in his eyes, that's people that have been around the sport a lot. That's why a lot of the analytics have gotten in the way in some of these sports, right? Because sometimes a coach or manager just knows what the right thing to do is.
Absolutely true.
So when somebody like you that's been around the sport for this long says something like that, I'm probably going to put my money on him. So you're going to owe me money if I lose.
What about you, Delco Dan? Who do you got?
Well, Condit's coming off that win against Matt Brown. He's riding a little momentum. And I'm going to pick with my heart. I'm going to go Condit.
Condit wins in the third.
The boys backing the dogs? I like this.
I think he gets tested. He probably loses the first round. Might even lose the second and wins. And like it's probably a TKO stoppage in the third, I think. I think he like finds some juice there in the third. Maybe the crowd brings it to him. Like the age difference isn't enough to where you'd really see like a super athletic difference, you know, 35 and 37. And Condon just has that like that street smarts, that IQ. That I feel like I think there's going to be some energy in the air that brings him out in the third.
How many rounds is this fight, by the way?
Three
rounds. Okay, great. Yeah. So I can at least count on probably 30 at that bar, 30, 35 minutes at that bar.
Yeah.
So that's what I'm looking forward to. Who do we got up next, George?
Just tell me when you get to your goddamn seat. So
I will. I will.
Seriously.
Well, next we got
the main card.
We're on the main card, yeah.
So this is Sean O'Malley and Chris.
Not missing this. You know why? Superstar, rainbow hair. I'm all in, dude. I will watch him fight my fucking grandmother, and she died four months ago.
You're gonna fade.
She did.
Wait, you're
second COVID shot got her.
You're gonna fade the Boston painter, the guy that quit his job so he could take this fight.
Yep. Don't care. Don't
plus
care.
Yeah, not everybody can do that.
So when I see someone of your acumen sort of roll your eyes at the Sean O'Malley stuff, I'm curious.
Yep. Not because Sugar anything Sean. About Sean O'Malley. I like Sean O'Malley as a fighter. We can get to that last performance here in a minute, but traditionally I'm a really big fan of Sean O'Malley. That eye roll and that big like sigh for me is what gets him to like people.
Yeah.
Yeah, he likes Deion Sanders and Ricky Henderson.
Yep. Fucker. Two favorite players of all time. Yeah. That'll tell you everything about my life right there in sports.
It's like you should like Sean for the fact that he's doing spinning back kicks to the head.
Love all that. But I also love the hair, the attitude, him fucking around with Jake Paul.
Yeah.
They were holding a baby alligator the other day on Instagram.
Too much time
now.
You know, it is a slippery slope. You know, it's you have to stay focused. You have to manage your time correctly. You know, he does have a big boost because of his personality and because of his social media. He's a fan in Ross already.
Yeah,
a diehard fan in Ross already.
Yeah,
and, you know, he's barely, I don't say barely a main card fighter, but you know, he's just now coming into his UFC prime. What might we say?
Yeah.
I'd like to see him go all the way to the top. I'd like to
That's
see
the kind
him.
Of guy you want at the top.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah, I'm sure Dana wants that. I'm sure you want it, John.
He's going for the highlights.
Oh, no. Well, I think he's the total package, and I think you would appreciate all the things that I love him for, right? Just the love for grappling, right? The appetite for training. He has this unbelievable inner circle and works his fucking ass off, you know? He thinks he has the skills right now to be top five. And I can't sit here and tell you that he doesn't. Like, obviously the durability has been called into question, but as great as he is on the feet, he's a very willing grappler. And I don't know, I guess I'm just getting impatient to see him get tested against top 15 competition.
We got to get him against somebody.
Well, he's super creative with his grappling.
Yeah.
And he's just always trying to elevate.
You say that every time he fights, like he's doing shit that he didn't do, that he hasn't even done his career yet. He's doing stuff right now that you've never seen him do.
No. And you can see the love for what he's doing out there. And I think you see amazing performances when you're not scared. You're out there having fun. You feel at home inside the cage. Like, there's no place you'd rather be. Like, that's where you really see the best example of mixed martial arts.
They're definitely slow playing this, though, ever since the Chito
but
Vera
fight.
That's
why I want to see him get tested. He hasn't started his MMA journey yet against the top guys in the division. Like, he could have a rise and a fall and a rise again, you know?
And I think it's because of the Chito Vera fight, though.
Yeah, it could be, yeah.
Of Sean,
but he's definitely going to win this fight, right? And he's also a good example of why a one in the loss column is not, like, that shouldn't be poison to somebody's career.
I'm scared here, and the reason Dan put a bet down on his opponent is because
I did.
The walk-off knockouts that he tried in his last fight, like, how did you feel about those? You know,
he's not following through.
Definitely
combos,
not. Yeah. He's not having the ref pull him off him. He's looking for that highlight reel. He's looking for that photo op directly afterwards, like twice. You know, against a dangerous fighter, is that going to cost him, you know, to reaching his full potential?
I thought that situation was a little bit overblown in the Thomas Almeida fight. I know some of our producers in the truck were like, what is he doing? And I was like, just fucking chill out, guys. Jesus, you know? But I do think that these are all things worth bringing up. You know, I don't mean to totally discount that. But a lot of it has to do with money, right? And I think for Sean O'Malley, if he's going to be fighting top 15 guys, then he wants to make six figures to show. And if he's going to be make 50 or 60 grand to show, then he'll fight Lewis Smolka or a late replacement. But I will give him credit because he accepted a fight against Ricky Simone. And then Ricky Simone, who is an offensive juggernaut, outstanding wrestler, good striker, wasn't able to make weight. So that would have been a great challenge for Sean this weekend. And not to say that, you know, the Massachusetts guy, right? I should be supporting this Chris Moutinho out of Massachusetts, Milford High School. But
two straight wins.
Yeah, I mean, you know, but I just
he's
think
two
it's,
and two in his last four.
Right, 2-2 on the regional scene in his last four.
He also
it's
doesn't
just
have a picture on his ESPN
hey,
page.
No so needs. If you need some, he looks like the Jared Leto's version
maybe
of the
he's
Joker
a witness
with his like green hair slick back. He does.
Well, I mean, look, any shot that he wins as a kid, I went to a Holyfield fight. Last minute replacement was Burt Cooper. Mm-hmm. I was a child in Atlanta, Georgia. My father took me. Burt Cooper knocked Holyfield down for the first time in his career and almost lost that fight. There was a weird count, is all I'll say, towards the end of that round. And it was like, man, he could have gone down. Any shot in the world, this Boston kid ends up fucking doing it.
Yeah, I mean, he's certainly game. He certainly was unfazed in our fighter meeting setting. And a lot of people, you see Daniel Cormier, man, he totally unfazed. He's been doing this for 10 years. He's been traveling the world, going to different gyms, sharpening his skills. So I don't think he'll be fazed by the atmosphere. I think the opponent's more the issue.
All right, who do we got next?
All right, rapid fire time because we got time left.
Yep.
No disrespect for these
but
two
also,
fighters.
But also, I'm going to take plus 550. I'm fading.
Yeah, he did it. I watched him do it. He bet on the Boston kid.
Yeah, why not?
That's, you know, but real money.
Playing with house money. Let's go.
Well,
John understands you're a junkie, Dan. Continuing with the card. Aurene Aldana versus Yana Kunitskaya.
We'll call him Aurene Aldana and Yana Kunitskaya on the broadcast, but I like it's a close fight. Yeah, Jesus. I'm just kidding.
Best in the biz.
It's a very close fight. Aldana had a ton of momentum, came up short, obviously, in a main event setting against Holly Holm her last time out. You know, I remember when women's MMA was in its infancy, I always used to say, just give me the meaner fighter. Mm-hmm. And Yana Kunitskaya is fucking mean, man. You know, so I'm excited. All the sharps I've talked to are on the Aldana side. I'm not so sure, man. I'm not so sure.
All right.
No, we'll a family see. That trains together stays together.
That's right.
Yeah.
All right. So Greg Hardy's fighting again.
There it is. In the ring or at home?
Yeah, either way.
Okay.
He's got a bit of a niche advantage. They're about the same size otherwise. And I don't know much about the other guy. Is he
fighting Trevor Bauer?
No, it's
because that would be
Ty
a great
Tuivasa.
One.
He's Ty Tuivasa.
Tuivasa. Yeah, of course.
I'll just tell you about our fighter meeting with Greg Hardy. You know, we go at him fairly hard on the cardio stuff, right? He has hit a wall now in several fights, and he hasn't been able to break through that wall. And when he was in the NFL, he was never the money guy on the defensive line, so he would sometimes show up to training camp. They'd want him at 265, other times 315. Right. He's trying to not walk around at 320 anymore. He's trying to walk around at 275, making it an easier cut down to 266. He has had 6 months of developmental time to work on some of the nuances for the grappling. He feels like he's making mistakes because he's tired and he just hasn't. He's a rookie. Like, he's so classy and respectful with us in this setting, right? He's been a pro for, you could speak to this, he's been a pro for 3 years, you know? Like, he's just getting started.
Yes, but you've been a pro for 3 years. Your cardio needs to be there for a 3-round fight by now, especially as a former professional athlete and understanding who to talk to about your sports performance, how to get your body weight down, where to put that muscle, where to carry stuff. You've been used to having the best trainers on the planet.
Yeah.
3 years is enough time. You should have this figured out.
Well, I guess
now.
We'll see tonight.
Like, why don't
Saturday?
Why is your weight fluctuating that? You know, why aren't you a little bit more committed there? Like, you know, is it, you know, you're too high on the lifestyle? Are you not committed to your diet? Or is it just, you know, you think you're doing the right things, you're not quite focused outside, but you know, you give that man 3 fresh rounds and he is dangerous.
No doubt, man.
Even 2 fresh rounds, right? It's going to be hard to beat because it's just a constant.
He's not going to make mistakes if he's not tired. He's not going to especially that defensive that we talked about earlier. You know, you're fresh in this as a striker. You know, he's going to defend more takedowns if he's not tired. He's going to be able to get off his back if he gets taken down if he isn't tired.
I think he loses, and I think this is his last fight.
I always bet against Greg Hardy.
I can guarantee you it won't be his last fight.
You don't think so?
No, he's in it. He's in it. I mean, he has adopted the martial arts lifestyle, to your point, to whatever degree. But
that's not a knock against him.
He just was sort of bemoaning to us that by the time he gets home from a fight that he's weighed in at 266 for, he's like fucking 295, you know, it's just,
295 should be the cap then.
Well, I agree.
But he's got to stand.
And that's one. He agrees with you.
And then as your manager, you know? As your trainer, you're like, okay, now what are you the day after? Call me in the morning. Right. What are you stepping on the scale? Right.
Well, we'll see if he wins his fight. I want to see what kind of shape he's in. I want to see if he's bounced around before the fight or if he has a tendency to kind of pace instead of bounce. If he's bouncing, I'm going to fucking probably take the live line.
I'm going to live line this as well. Who do you got, Georgia?
I got Ty.
Sorry. Okay.
Okay.
Delco.
Yeah, he's getting knocked cold. Fuck Greg Hardy.
Yeah.
Bam Bam's knocked him out.
All right, so Gilbert Burns, Stephen Thompson. This is a big one. Two good fighters.
Wonder fight. Boy.
As I sit here talking to you guys, most of the sharps that I have talked to, and I'm talking 80 or 90% are on Ty Tuivasa and Stephen Wonderboy Thompson. So, you know, use that for whatever it's worth. I mean, Gilbert Dreno Burns, I know him very well. We have the same sort of strength and conditioning coaches down in South Florida, and there's no harder worker than that guy. He's world-class when it comes to his Brazilian jiu-jitsu, a ton of power on the feet. I just think it's so hard to close the distance, and the clock.
It's a lot of distance, too.
Just is working against you. You're fighting Stephen Wonderboy Thompson in a 30-foot octagon where he can just be on the outside doing his thing. I think it's really hard on the feet. I think Gilbert needs to pursue a floor fight at all costs.
I agree with that 100%. The biggest take, not even say the biggest takeaway, the thing that sways me the most in this fight is that Gilbert lost that grappling match in the Who's Number One on Flow Grappling right after the Kamaru fight.
Yep.
So I expected him to come back and really transition hard, competing again, competing in multiple sports and get a good win. And like, I don't know if getting comfortable losing, but like, yeah, in the 30 foot octagon, I see Steven picking him apart. You know, the only thing against Steven that I have is maybe he's possibly transitioning to his post-fight career a little early. He's very popular on social media. He has a huge YouTube channel. He has a podcast. You know, he's doing all the right things for his post-fight. You know, does that take 1 foot out of your training? Does that take a little bit of your focus away where, you know, Gilbert is an animal? And if he catches you, you know, he's a pit bull. He's not letting go.
What do you got?
Thompson's at minus 155 here. Look, you know, I love
what about a finish in round three? What's that look like?
You know, I love the sex. I'm going with Wonder Boy.
Of course you are.
I'm going. I mean, that's on a weekend like this for a guy like me. Yes, dude, I go with the people that I love.
I'm going to take Thompson.
I'm going Wonder Boy
in third.
All right.
Let's see here. Over under is 2.5 in this one, which is a little surprising. And as far as rounds go, Thompson by KO +300. A TKO or a DQ, Thompson by submission +2200.
Ha. Yeah, no, that is not a chance.
Monstrous.
I mean, that would be surprising.
Thompson by decision or technical decision is +160. Clearly, that's where Vegas is putting their bread and butter.
I mean, both guys to us understand the value of a finish because Leon Edwards and Colby Covington, in theory, have the inner track to a title fight. Mm. And I think for Wonderboy in particular, he knows that if he can knock Gilbert Burns out and then get a microphone in his face, he's got a great chance to fight Usman. But if you win a decision and it's a little bit lackluster, and Connor's in the wings, you know, we're trying to spin things forward, you know, finish would be useful for both guys.
I agree. He needs this. And then I think I don't know if he fights Usman next, but I think he has a claim to the next fight.
I want to say Wonderboy knocks out Burns first round, gets on the mic and then hops Colby. He gets the title shot.
How about
next.
That?
It's a hot tip.
I like it. Yeah.
We got one fight left. I can't remember who's fighting, though. Do you guys know who it is?
When John said Drake was coming out in a wheelchair, I was, look, I'm all in, obviously. Right. It's McGregor versus Dustin. Again, this is all hard on this one because for me personally, and that's, look, I come out for the big shit. Yes. I come out for the sexy shit. I wasn't in Arizona.
Right.
We sent them to Arizona. Like, hey, have fun. You guys are the real MMA guys. I'm the casual in the fucking chat room. That's like, all right, great. I know about the big boys and that's it.
That's
but with this one, he's my favorite. Like, this is my dude. Like, Connor is my guy. I want to see him win. Therefore, I cannot bet against him. The shocking thing to me in this, because it's pretty close, is -110 for Connor, -120 for Poirier, is the over-under is 1.5 in this fight. So that means you think it's going to be over real quick.
What's the price on that 1.5? Do we even know if there's a price on it?
-210 for the over of 1.5. Odds are shitty. Under 1.5, though, is +170. Now, look, I'm also going to take some rounds and sprinkle.
Of course,
2 and 3 for Poirier, because I think that's where the real money is. On this type of shit is not enough money for me, but I'm going to bet on McGregor out of the kindness of my heart, obviously.
Of your hat.
I got a lot of it. But with that, I just think personally, even though I love him and I'm going to throw a little money on him, sprinkle on Poirier, you can't train on a yacht anymore. You look great on Instagram because you're always in the sun. He's got a great tan now. Best Irishman with a tan of all time. Yeah. But I don't think you can train on a yacht. I think he's too rich. That deal was $600 million for the fucking whiskey. You don't want to get punched in the face anymore. I think this could be right around that 1.5 for Poirier, to be honest with you. That's why I've got money on 2 and 3 for Poirier.
There are so many layers to this. I mean, at this point of the week, it's like I'm almost more interested in your takes than my own, right? Because I've sort of trotted them out so often. But I really do believe that Connor loves this shit. Maybe not quite as much as Dustin does, but he really is back because he loves to compete and to prove himself against the best fighters in the world. From a betting perspective, you're always told to sort of focus on the number and not the fighter. So when I saw Connor McGregor at plus money, in a matchup that in theory is pretty favorable at +108. I mean, that looks pretty juicy to me. That's not a prediction for you. But I can understand why people would see value at Connor when you were paying -270 for him in January. And now you're getting him at -110 or +108.
It's going to be very tempting for a lot of people to take Connor plus money for the first time.
You'll never get a better price.
When's the last time that happened? I guess Khabib. And then before that, it would have been before he won a title.
Right.
So
But the thing with Poirier is that he's just, he's one of the greatest executors in MMA history, right? His ability to just adapt and adjust and to do what his coaches want him to do. He has so many different ways to beat you. And he just takes what the fight gives him. He's so calm in the chaos, and he's never been more confident than he is right now. Mm. So as much as I see value on Conor, there's no fucking way after what we saw in January that I would walk to the window mm-hmm. and bet against Dustin Poirier this weekend. So for me, it's a layoff. Maybe I would play a round prop or over under on a round prop, but I'm not taking a side on this fight. I'm not. It's too, there are other much better betting opportunities on this card than this main event.
I agree, and that's why I take the rounds. So a guy like me sprinkles, right? So I'll put 200 on McGregor just to do it. Like you said, you're not going to get a price like this for McGregor. Greats. And then the odds really bump up if you're picking the rounds right. for Poirier. And I think it's 2 and 3 is where I've told everybody to put their money at. Giorgio, what about you?
I know we'll keep this going, Susan. I know Annette's got to roll real quick. How many more years do you think we have Conor McGregor in the UFC?
If we take him at his word this week, it's very encouraging for the UFC that he'll be around for some time. You know, he keeps talking about how young he is. And what do you guys think he's going to do?
Once this podcast grows and matures, it's amazing. In 2023, are we going to a Vegas Conor McGregor fight?
Oh, I think so. Absolutely.
In 2023,
do believe that. And, you know, a lot of people have said to me at times, like, if you win the lottery, would you do this? Right. And I would honor my contract, but I would not continue to do this. Okay. Like, my ego is not big enough to stick around.
Do we see Conor McGregor with a championship belt around his waist again? Before he retires.
I wish I could answer you on Sunday morning, because for me to sit here and say no suggests that he's losing Saturday. So as the guy who has to call the fight, I don't feel comfortable answering that question.
Okay.
You made him uncomfortable. Thanks a lot.
I'll go bolder. Fuck it. You know me, dude. I'll always go fucking bolder.
Yeah. You're going to say yes.
I think no. I think he loses this fight. I think he's probably done after this. Even though I love him, and I'm going to put some money on him just to do it because I want to be there for the last kind of tip of the cap type of thing. And then I think he ends up fighting like Jake Paul. I think Jake Paul beats Woodley. No lie. And then I think he sets up that dream fight of McGregor versus Jake Paul. Mm-hmm. And I think that is next. And I think he loses in round two on Saturday night and is done. At that point, it'll be what, 4 losses in a row?
Yes. But do you have an opinion on Jake Paul Woodley before you leave?
Well, I think Jake Paul works harder than a lot of professional fighters out there. I will lead with that. And I do look forward to the time that that Jake Paul challenges himself against, you know, boxers. I mean, Tyron Woodley is a wrestler, but obviously he's a very good boxer. Mm. He's not Jorge Masvidal. He's not Dustin Poirier.
Right.
I like the
power.
Yeah, I mean, I like the progression for Jake Paul because the Ben Askren fight was just a joke, you know? One of the easiest money-making opportunities on Jake Paul in the world.
But he didn't make the money, so... If it's stupid and as it works, is it really stupid?
It's not, man. And I put a lot of fucking money on it. I put $1,000 on that fight.
Yeah. Good. No, I'm just suggesting those who sort of gave Ben Askren a chance. I don't have to tell Giorgio. I mean...
Yeah, look at his hair.
My hair's just gone.
At his hair.
I mean, I lost $1,000 and dyed my hair. I was college wrestling teammates with Ben.
Oh, there it is. So
disappointed,
but,
John.
But you also know that he's, with respect, Ben Askren's one of my favorite people out there, but he's literally one of the worst 10 strikers in UFC history.
I understand that, but I've watched the guy box like in the basement, and I really thought Jake Paul was that bad.
Yeah,
I thought he could tie him up. I thought he would at least like be fun about it, like bully him in a way, like use his age. Like I thought he would clinch right away and mush his face like he was doing, or put him in the corner. Like I didn't think he would try to jab and circle with him.
He got his hip replaced 6 months ago.
He's not good.
John, say what you really want to say, John. Go ahead.
No, I mean, I understand Ben Askren making money, all is well and good, but literally, he didn't devote the time to his striking and his mixed martial arts career.
Well, he's got to make time for the disc golf.
Yeah. He's a hell of a disc golf player. But no, I mean, there are hundreds of athletes on that roster that would have had a much better chance than Askren. You know,
Dustin Poirier wins Saturday. He goes on to fight somebody else. McGregor wins. I feel like that is an earth-moving event in the UFC.
Oh, yeah.
What happens if McGregor wins? What does it look like 6 months and a year from now if McGregor wins? I want to know.
Winner gets a title shot.
Yeah. Well, that I think goes without saying, and I can tell you guys Charles Oliveira is going to be in the building and maybe heard from potentially depending on how things play out. But again, Conor McGregor sits down with Stephen A. Smith this week and talks like a man who wants to turn around and fight in 3 months. So do I take him at his word? You know, when people told me he was never coming back after Mayweather, I insisted he would be back for legacy, you know, and that's
what's next
why
for Michael
back.
Chandler, Justin Gaethje.
Yes.
Okay, thank you. That's all I needed. Thank you.
That
sounds very, very plausible.
Thank
Georgia.
You. That's all I needed.
Okay.
That's definitely a fight I want to see. It's two, I don't want to say meatheads.
Say it.
Can you, Dan?
It's two Kyles, dude. It's Monster Energy and Drywall.
Yeah, I want to see that fight.
So much disrespect right now.
I was surprised, by the way, since you brought up Stephen A. Smith, that ESPN added him, seeing is the back history with him and Rogan going back and forth.
Yeah, I mean,
it's wild, but again, McGregor,
a lot of people, he doesn't really, Stephen A's beefs usually go away after a while. He doesn't really maintain it.
Well, and you know, certainly his statements about Cowboy Cerrone sort of offended a lot of the MMA masses, but his comments, however insensitive, have aged well, given what Cerrone has done in the octagon. But I'm on the totally other side of the Stephen A. Smith thing, because I look at the reporter from the Philadelphia Inquirer who was covering boxing when I was, right? Who has covered combat sports and has 30 years in journalism, and you have all these other journalists and the fan base wanting to denigrate his every move. He's not a mixed martial arts expert, but he's continuously putting over our broadcast team and talking about how much he enjoys watching the fights. He's just trying to like embrace it, and he gets slapped in the fucking face every step of the way. So maybe you wouldn't be surprised to have me be defending him, but I just can't believe all the venom that's out there. He shouldn't have hit pads, okay? But
I love it, and I love that it exists in this world, because now you're going to watch all the shit. Right, pre-fight too, where you're like, all right, great, man. Like,
why wouldn't you? This is, look, drama. People like drama.
Yes.
Obviously. It's great. The drama in the desert. That's my lead.
Yeah. It's
is beautiful. That your lead?
No, maybe though. I'm trying to work that word.
You gotta get the wheelchair. Lead with that, dude. Lead with that. Lead with the Degrassi reference and then
wheelchair,
see how the night
Jimmy's
goes.
Jimmy's in the house, everybody.
Yeah.
You're going to be in my fucking head now when I'm doing this pay-per-view open.
Oh, dude. It's just... I can't even tell you the song he's coming out to. Hey, whoa.
Well, it sounds like all the other ones.
Every single song he does. Yeah. Every single song he does. Wheelchair Jimmy's going to be there. Chappelle's going to be there. Trump is going to be there. Weirdest night of celebrities ever at a UFC fight.
Have a cigarette.
MGK, Machine Gun Kelly, the Kardashians are going to be there.
Yep.
They are confirmed. Wildest crowd ever at a UFC event. I mean, can you? I can't remember a crowd like
maybe
this.
Maybe that New York Conor fight.
Yeah.
Maybe. But to be honest, celebrities show up more in LA than New York, anyways, right?
Yeah.
Well, we're in Vegas.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. What I'm saying, like West Coast show celebrities. Oh, yes. Out here. So maybe. Maybe this is it. Shit.
I've never heard Dana say what he said about the celebrities before this fight in terms of the A-listers wanting to be here. So I'm hoping Tom Brady can fit it in his schedule.
You took a picture with Tom last time.
Yes, I did. Well, two times ago. The last time I just... Little fist bump was good enough for me, you know.
Well, Tom's got to fly in from Wyoming, so...
Greatest athlete of all time.
Tom Brady?
No. I mean he's the GOAT, but he's not
in
an
football.
Athlete.
Greatest.
Right?
Yeah.
You heard it here, John X says Tom Brady is
greatest
not an athlete.
Greatest franchise. He's the greatest franchise of all time. That's what the guy Ryan Howard from ESPN said. I agree with that.
Yes. And congratulations to you. I know you were rooting for him down in Tampa Bay. And
I mean, not with every ounce of me, but
did you bet on that game?
I did. I bet heavy on Tom.
So did I.
Really? You bet on Tom?
Yep.
Is that the first time you've ever, because you usually bet against the hedge, right?
My heart wasn't as invested with the Bucks, so I was able to separate myself from it.
Make some money.
Man, there was a lot of money to be made on them in that postseason.
I had 5K on that game. We went live for it. And I was the only one to pick it.
Yeah.
Wish you were on the show that day.
Georgia picked it too, right?
Oh, yeah, that's right.
I picked it too.
But he doesn't watch football.
No.
John was supposed to be out of here 8 minutes ago, so I feel terrible.
Oh, yeah,
let's just round it up. We'll keep going and talk this Conor fight a little bit more, but anything else from John so we can let him?
Why don't we just make official picks for Conor and wrap it up?
Yeah. Who do you got? Conor McGregor.
We're over an hour.
For the sake of mixed martial arts and this universe and this path, I think Dustin wins. He gets a shot at Charles, and then we see, you know, who's number one right now.
Okay. I got Poirier in too.
Yeah, of course you do.
I got Poirier in too, but I'm going to look. I have to put money on Connor, but I got Poirier in too. Who do you got?
I'm going to sprinkle Poirier 2 and 3, but I think I'm going to bet Connor to win in the second as well.
Okay.
And if he wins, it's going to be then.
Oh, dude. And that place will go bug fuck. Yeah. What about you, Delco Dan? Nah.
Dustin's going to take his back and submit him. Dustin plus by submission, 7-1.
Oh, it's like plus, no.
7-1.
Plus 7. It's like plus
7-1. Okay,
and it's not the craziest bet out there.
Not at
you know,
all.
If you got a free 100 to throw Connor around,
McTappen.
You know, Connor does, you know, turns after getting punched a few times, rocked. Yeah, it's plausible.
And Connor would much rather be submitted than knocked out.
Yep.
So.
Yeah.
All the time.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Too rich. Too rich, kids. Yeah, yeah. John, tell everybody where they can find you.
Oh, well, it's great to be with you guys. This always makes the pay-per-view week special, so thanks for dragging me out here. We do the Anakin Florian podcast every Monday, so we'll be recapping UFC 264, and look forward to everybody joining us on pay-per-view this weekend. I would just say you should buy it like early in the day, because with these McGregor pay-per-views, you don't want to rely on the technology.
It crashes, man.
And turn it on in advance, too. Log into it and turn it on as soon as possible.
Yep.
Don't wait on ESPN and then switch over. Have them both on.
Yeah. Look, we greatly appreciate it again. Best in the biz, in my opinion.
My
and I think you could translate to every sport. And I didn't really start to notice until we became friends a few years ago. And then when I watched that Monday night team on ESPN, I'm like, man, there's no reason he couldn't just flop over to Monday night football as well.
You can tell when people do the homework and when they don't, to be honest. I mean, you've got natural talent too, but you clearly work harder than most people.
Well, thanks, man. The last time I did a football game was 2015. And, you know, that's just much more in my wheelhouse than martial arts, but I have the job I want right now, and hopefully I don't fuck it up this week.
Well, you're also over at ESPN, so you're auditioning every single Saturday night, just in case, ESPN, because that Monday night team sucks. Love you. Love you. John Anik, best in the biz. We appreciate you being here. Tune in with us. We will be live from the fight on Saturday night. We were able to get some internet at the Mayweather fight. We're going to try it again inside the arena.
T-Mobile's actually a good internet.
Yes, yes, they do. For Delco Dan, the real Dan Holloway, John Anik, Papa Giorgio, I'm Ross Patterson. This is the Drinking Bros Sports Podcast. Good night, everyone.
Live on DAZN Worldwide, May 2nd and 3rd, Garcia versus Romero and Canelo versus Skull. Friday from 6 p.m. Eastern, Garcia returns in a history-making Times Square takeover. 24 hours later, Saturday from 7 p.m. Eastern, King Canelo faces undefeated Skull for the undisputed crown. May 2nd and 3rd, a knockout weekend of boxing. Pick one or go all in for only $90, exclusively on DAZN. Buy now at DAZN.com/boxing.
Ugh, spam calls. Sound familiar? Introducing Line 2. Get a second phone number right on your existing phone. Imagine discounts, appointments, online forms. Handle it all without giving out your personal number. It's like having a secret weapon against spam. And when those unwanted calls sneak through, boom, blocked. No more interruptions, no more stress. Stay connected, stay protected. Keep your main number safe and out of harm's way. Ready to take back your phone? Visit line2.com/audio or download Line 2 in the App Store today.